Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
I thought it interesting because I already know what I'm going to share mostly. I never know exactly what I'm going to share today. And I found it interesting that that just so flowed in the focus of this message today. Speaking of this message today, I get to speak on the works of the flesh on Father's Day. Lord. So I decided to skip that. We'll do that next week. We're in Galatians chapter 5, though. You know, think back on the day when you received Christ. You know, those early days of your Christian walk, when you first came into a relationship with Christ. Do you remember that freedom you had? Do you remember the joy and the peace that you experienced that day? Your burdens were gone. You knew for certain that your sins were absolutely forgiven. Wow. You had a whole new love for Jesus. You looked at life differently, didn't you? You knew for certain that you were going to heaven. You wanted to learn about the Bible. You enjoyed telling people about Jesus. You wanted to share with everyone you knew about Jesus. And you wanted to do everything that the Lord wanted you to do. Life was good. And then a few weeks, months go by, and the enemy comes. He attacks you. You start feeling temptation to go back to those sins that you left, back to the train tracks, as Olivia would say. And you did go back to those sins, some of them, and you even fell back in to those sins. And you wondered, as the enemy came and he whispered into your mind, am I really a child of God? Am I really a Christian? Or was this some phase that I was going through? Because how can a true Christian do that? How can a true Christian say those things? How can a true Christian even think some of the things that you were thinking? And then came the discouragement, that sense of failure, and you wanted to give up because you thought when you became a Christian, you had a free pass to heaven. You were ready to go to heaven, you left hell behind you, and you thought that you were going to live well, peacefully, happily, ever after. No one told you that you had been enlisted into God's army, that you had been dropped into the middle of a spiritual battleground, and get this, without any training. Yeah. You are now placed on the very front lines of a war with Satan and every demon in hell. And now, the war you're finding yourselves fighting is not a war like any other war you've experienced, because you can't even see the enemy. He's invisible, and he's smart. He's very cunning and very clever. And in this war, it's like nothing you've experienced, because this war is a battle within. It's a battle inside of your own self, a battle in your own mind and in your own body. And too often in churches, we get so focused on introducing people into a relationship with Christ, on helping them come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. We don't take the time needed to really disciple people in their Christian life, to help them know what comes next after praying the prayer. It'd be like signing up for the Marine Corps. And after you're signed up, you're given a uniform and a canteen, and you're dropped onto the battlefield right there in front of enemy lines. You have no knowledge, no skill. You don't even have weapons. You know, the Apostle Paul understood this battle, and he said this, He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. So what's the key to winning this battle? That's what we're going to explore today in our text. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you haven't just dropped us into a battle without an instruction manual and without brothers and sisters to help us and to teach us and train us and to guide us and lead us into this battle. But Lord, every one of us are in a common battle and struggle with the enemy, without those spiritual dimensions of wickedness and high places, and the enemy within, that flesh, that old nature that is dying daily as we put those things into surrender and submission and obedience at the foot of Christ. Lord, teach us, train us more today as we study your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text this morning, and we're going to be here for a few weeks, by the way, because there's so much in these 10 verses, or I guess it's 11 verses maybe. It says in Galatians 5:16 through 26, I said then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. For if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so we're told way back in verse 16 that there's really only one way to conquer this war within, this battle with the flesh that each one of us struggle with after we come to Christ. That's the problem. We didn't struggle with it much before we came to Christ, did we? But after we come to Christ, we start to struggle with this battle. What's the key? It's simply that walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Now, last week, we discovered some things that the Holy Spirit does for us. And we see here in this text, one of the things he does is he helps us overcome the flesh. That's one of his ministries. That's one of his missions in our life, is to help us to overcome the flesh. Because in us, we have two natures that are battling for one another. It's kind of like we've got a sheep nature and a goat nature. And sheep, they eat only vegetation. Goats, they eat just about anything. And that's our flesh. It'll just go for just about anything. But that sheep nature, that one that's redeemed, that part of us that says we want to please God, it only wants to eat the things of God. It only wants to feed on the things of God. So this isn't a battle that you and I can win by ourselves. There's no human being that can win this war by themselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, young lady, she was 5'7", 118 pounds, was honored to become Miss Venezuela. She went on to become Miss Universe. And after obtaining the crown of Miss Universe, she was asked what she was going to do next. She said, I'm going to do something I haven't been able to do for 3 weeks. I am going to eat. I'm going to eat. And I'm going to eat. And I'm going to sleep. Yeah, and she was true to her word. She ate. And she ate. And she ate. So much so that the campaign officials were actually complaining that this young lady was now getting to be a little chubby. And she had bathing suits, swimsuit contracts that she was obligated to. And quite frankly, one official quoted, she said, she's gone a bit chubby. And she kept gaining weight. So much so, People Weekly said that her new personal trainer weighed her in at 155 pounds. At one point, she got up to 160 pounds. But the good news was that with the help of her personal trainer, she was able to get down to a healthy 130. There's an interesting illustration there, because you and I are just like Miss Venezuela, Miss Universe. Our flesh wants to eat, 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 and we just keep on indulging. We don't have that ability to restrain the flesh. We need that personal trainer, the Holy Spirit. We need Him to help us, to train us and teach us how to overcome this flesh nature. Years ago, I was privileged to be able to minister on the streets of Hollywood and up in San Francisco, and we came across a lot of people on the streets of Hollywood and San Francisco, and drug addicts, heroin addicts, and all sorts of other things. And I was blessed to be able to, actually, literally, I remember one time in San Francisco, this guy was having a heroin withdrawal, and I literally held him in my arms while he was shaking and convulsing uncontrollably from heroin. And we just prayed for him. The whole team gathered around, and we just prayed for him, and he just slowly stopped shaking and had the complete peace of God on him. I remember another heroin addict. He went to the church I was going to. His name was Raymond. And Raymond's testimony was that he was hooked on heroin and that God delivered him supernaturally from heroin. And he had a life that testified of it. For years he was walking with the Lord. And but what he struggled with was cigarette addiction. He wanted to get rid of the cigarettes. He was literally felt chained and powerless to overcome that addiction. And so I struggled with that in prayer. And I said, Lord, what is wrong? I mean, I've seen you heal heroin addicts. I mean, I experienced it in my very arms. I see the fruit of your deliverance in Raymond's life and others that I've heard of and known. But we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and Raymond's prayed to be delivered from cigarettes, and he's not. What's going on? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know, I took away from Raymond what he was absolutely powerless to control. I delivered him from heroin addiction. He said, I've allowed him to still struggle with the addiction to cigarettes and nicotine because he needs to learn how to overcome that through the power of my Holy Spirit working in him. So you might be here today and you go, oh, wait a minute, God's done some amazing things in my life. He's delivered me from these things, but I still have these things in my flesh that I'm still struggling with. Why, Lord, do I still have this? What's going on? And I just want to exhort you and encourage you that perhaps the Lord has left that in your life, not so that you can just be complacent about it and surrender to it, but so that you can, he can use that so that you can learn to grow and learn how to overcome those battles and those struggles through the power of his Holy Spirit working in you. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I would squander every bit of spiritual success that God does in our life. So the Holy Spirit trains us and teaches us how to live victoriously and freely as Christians. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. Turn to someone and say, I think we're in a war. Yeah, we're in a battle, aren't we? Yeah, just in case they didn't know. Anybody ever make a New Year's resolution? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? What's the problem with New Year's resolutions? Yeah, why? Because Jesus said, our spirit, it's willing. It's willing, but our flesh is weak. But it's the spirit that's willing, and the spirit is what has power over the flesh. But given itself, the flesh is far too weak. So once we become born again, our spirit becomes alive in Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He quickens life to our spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You have this from God. You're not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The battle began the minute the Holy Spirit entered our life. The battle began. Who's going to control our soul, our mind, our will, our personality? And it says in verse 17, these are contrary to one another. So you and I were set up for a battle from the very beginning. The spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another. The boxing gloves are on. Key point, the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. It's a battleground. It's not a playground. It's flesh against spirit. So when we say flesh, what do we mean about flesh? What is flesh? How do we define that? I like what Dr. W.G. Scorgi defined it in his writings. He said this, the flesh is man's fallen nature under the power of sin. That's what the flesh is. It's not just skin and bones. It's the flesh is your fallen nature under the power of sin. So it does have to do with our physical body and appetites, but it's much more than that. It's our mind, our emotions, our passions, our desires, our will. That's all bound up into this flesh. And so what happens is when temptation comes our way, our flesh is literally like rocket fuel. So our flesh, our mind, our will, our emotions that struggles in that fallen nature, it's like rocket fuel. The temptation comes like an ignition and boom, it lights the rocket fuel and you know what happens next. Explosions go. So do we have the Holy Spirit? Think about that. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? If we do, he's going to help us to win the battle with the flesh. He promises he will do that. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if the Spirit of God is within us, then we are going to have the overcoming power of His Spirit to help us. But our flesh is such a distraction, isn't it? To every one of us, no matter how much we love God, how spiritually we want to be, our flesh is a distraction. Have you ever been just going along life, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, temptation comes right out in front of you? It's almost like a child running out in front of a car. You're just like, where did that come from? I wasn't even looking or expecting that. And I'm minding my own business. Or worse yet, in a prayer meeting, you're praying prayers. And all of a sudden, these thoughts come running through your head. And you're going, what on earth am I thinking about? That has nothing to do with the prayer that we're praying. In fact, it's contrary to that. Or maybe you're in church on a Sunday morning and you're listening to the pastor and you're bobbing your head and nodding just like this. But in your mind, you're thinking, what am I going to do this afternoon? Where am I going to eat for lunch? Yeah, we all have this struggle. The flesh becomes a very big distraction in our life because our spirit wants to obey God. Our spirit wants to do the things that please God. Our spirit wants to pray. Our flesh wants to sleep. Our spirit wants to forgive. Our flesh seeks revenge. Our spirit wants to study the Word of God. Our flesh wants to pull out our smartphone and flip through Facebook. Our spirit wants to witness to lost people. Our flesh says, let somebody else do that. Our spirit wants to love others. Our flesh wants to be grumpy or hurtful. Our spirit wants to go to church, and our flesh would rather be at the baseball game, at the beach, or just about anywhere else than at church. Yeah, or in bed. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit of God, it says you are not under the law. Now realize, we're in the book of Galatians. What is he talking about when he says you're not under the law if you're led by the Spirit of God? He's talking to us about what? Trying to achieve righteousness by somehow obeying the law so that we can obtain salvation apart from our faith in Christ. So if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the burden of trying to have to obtain our own righteousness through obedience to Christ. What has happened, though, is that there are some deceived Christians that have interpreted this idea into thinking that, well, because I have the Spirit of God within me, I'm not under the law, so I can go ahead and indulge in the works of the flesh. But he doesn't say that at all. He doesn't say we can indulge in the works of the flesh. He says you're not under the burden of the law trying to obtain righteousness by the obedience of the law, but we're never told in the Bible that now that we're saved, we're free from the struggle of trying to obtain righteousness from the law, but we're never told we're free from the struggle of living a godly life and shunning the works of the flesh and trying to put our fleshly desires under the obedience of Christ. Look what verse 21 says, how he finishes the verse 21. He says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking to the church. He's talking to Christians right here. And not only is he saying it once, he says, I've already told you this before. So this is like a second time. Paul is saying, I've told you this over and again, that those who practice these things, the works of the flesh, that we'll talk about and go into more specifically next week, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It means they are disqualifying themselves to inherit God's kingdom. Wow. Wow. So when do we think the discovery will dawn on them that they are disqualified for God's kingdom? Think about it. A Christian who has deceived themselves into thinking, I can just live gratifying my flesh because I prayed the prayer. I said the words. And I can just live this way. indulging in the flesh, and he comes before the great white throne judgment, and he hears those words, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You weren't even mine. You didn't have my spirit was not even in you. You deceived yourself." And then it's too late. So does this verse mean that if we commit sins after we become a Christian, that we lose our salvation? No, not at all. I love the way the New King James translates this word practice. It's a verb in the Greek, and it implies a continual action. It's not just doing it, it's practicing it. It's perfecting it. It's making it a part of your lifestyle and your habit. We're going to get into that a little bit more next week, like I said. It's not used of a sin that we stumble in, we fall into, and then we repent of, but rather one of an accepted practice where we just say, "This is the way God made me. This is just who I am. This doesn't really matter. Everybody else does it. And you know what? There's no such thing as a perfect Christian anyway, so I can just continue along this path." Oh yeah, it's very prevalent in those that call themselves Christians today. We see a ton of examples of this. So here's the problem that we all face as Christians. Just like in the Garden of Eden, in the garden of our souls, there's two trees of prominent interest. Yeah. There's one tree, the old tree, the tree of our flesh, our fallen nature, and then there's this new tree, the tree of the work of God, the new nature and the new things bearing the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to exhibit in our lives. And the challenge that you and I face is that we need to keep the old tree as barren as possible, that it's not producing any bad fruit, and keep the new tree producing good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, right? So how do we do this? We do this by neglecting that tree of the flesh. It's purposely, willfully, determinedly neglecting the tree of the flesh. We're going to starve it of any nutrients so that it will inhibit its growth. But at the same time, we want to cultivate something. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. It's cultivating that new tree. It's watering it with the water of God's Word. It's keeping our attention, our affections, on the new work of the Spirit of God within us. It's fertilizing the new tree. What do we fertilize it with? Fellowship, prayer, the knowledge of God. It's growing in the things of God. That's how we walk in the Spirit in a practical manner. And in walking in the Spirit in a practical ways, we win the war that is waged within our souls. That's the only way we're going to win this war, by walking in the Spirit. It's our only defense. So here's an interesting problem that they have back on the East Coast. I came across this. It's basically on the Atlantic coast there, the eastern states, and it's called cedar apple rust. How many of you heard of it? Nobody from Maine? Anybody hear of this? I know I never heard about this, but I came across this in my research, cedar apple rust. And what happens is when an eastern cedar tree is planted too closely to fruit-bearing apple trees, this tree gets infected. So the cedar tree becomes infected with what is known as a slimy orange canker that attaches itself to the bark and to the leaves. Yuck. But this canker on the cedar tree then has a life cycle that goes to those apple trees that are planted near it. It spreads to the apple trees, to the fruit-bearing apple trees, and infects their branches as well as their fruit. And the weird problem here with this cedar apple rust is that it is a cycle. It literally, they cycle one to another back and forth through the seasons of the year. And so it's an absolute cycle that these trees, when they're planted near each other, that the only way to break that cycle is to separate them apart. And isn't that interesting? Because that's the plight that every one of us have as true children of God. Once we place our faith in Christ, once the Holy Spirit indwells our lives, He's living us, He wants to produce what? Fruit, spiritual fruit in our lives. So He starts to convict us of the sins of the flesh. And we're no longer satisfied living that old life. A true Christian is no longer satisfied living a life doing the works of the flesh. And so we've got to separate. We want to separate as far, now that we have the Spirit of Christ in us and we're bearing fruit to Him, we want that fruit to be good fruit, not diseased or poisoned fruit. So we want to separate as far as we can from the works of the flesh, because otherwise it infects one another. And so that's what it means when we have been called into Christ to have a new life, that we distance ourselves from that old past life represented by that old tree of the works of the flesh and the sins of the world, and we are a new creation. We are planted as a new plant, a new seedling growing up to produce spiritual fruit for God. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. They're separated. They're going far, far into the distance. Behold, all things are becoming new. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have equipped us with all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have the Spirit of Christ within us. Lord, we thank You for the precious Holy Spirit within us. And Lord, we desire to walk in newness of life. We desire, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to You. And Lord, all of us have some things that were supernaturally taken away at the time of conversion. But also, Lord, we have some things that we're still working through. And Lord, I thank You that it's not a solo process. It's a dual process. Your Holy Spirit working, empowering, changing, developing, growing us, nurturing us, bearing fruit in our lives. Lord, Your Spirit is working within us. And You want to do great and mighty things. Lord, we just want to say right now, and You might want to say this in your heart, Holy Spirit, have Your way in my life. Holy Spirit, change me. Holy Spirit, come and work anew in me. Holy Spirit, purge the flesh away that I might bear good spiritual fruit to the glory of my Heavenly Father and to the praise of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.